Welcome to Women's Magazine. This is Global Val here at Mutiny Radio, now live. You were just listening to a podcast, but I'm here, and it is September 26th. It's a gorgeous Friday here at the beginning of the summer of autumn as the leaves start to change, and we all keep rolling through. So I wanted to say a big thank you to KPFA, Women's Magazine, Kate Raphael, the producer who has brought me on and let me make shows for them for Women's Magazine. And that's why I have Women's Magazine Hour here at Mutiny Radio every Friday from 2 to 3 p.m. And so this previous Monday, on Monday, September 22nd, an episode of mine, an episode that I produced, played on KPFA 94.1 and KPFA.org. And you can definitely listen to the podcast, the archive, if you go to KPFA.org, Women's Magazine, September 22nd. You will see it. Also, KPFAwomensmag.blogspot.com also has some information about the show and a link to the podcast, and also links to some petitions, because the topic of the show was the March for Elephants. It's a global march for elephants and rhinos taking place on Saturday, October 4th, here in San Francisco, starting at 10:30 a.m. at St. Mary's Square in Chinatown, ending up at UN Plaza with a rally and speakers and music. Because the African elephant is in danger of becoming extinct within the next 10 years. And the elephant is a keystone species. That means that... What? There's some weird sound coming on. I think that's my alarm. Hang on. So anyhow, the elephant is a keystone species, meaning that a myriad of other life forms depend on it for their own existence, most pointedly the forest itself in the Central African Plain. And so we're really looking at if the elephant disappears, there may be entire ecosystems that disappear. And that can affect climate change too, because they help build the forests that house and collect excess carbon and in the atmosphere. So it's interesting. It's an interesting topic. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to play for you this brief episode for the remainder of Women's Magazine. And then we'll, then at 3 o'clock, a little around 3 o'clock, we'll start the Common Thread Collective with Diamond Dave and myself and all of our friends. And we'd invite you to show up as well. We're at the corner of 21st and Florida here in the Mission District of San Francisco. And our phone number is 415-550-0511 if you want to give us a call. The Common Thread Collective coming up next at 3. It's an open mic. We're happy to hear what you got to say. So come on down. In the meantime,
Feminist women.
Mulheres feministas.
Zanone feminist.
Vanyu vachikonzero chevakadzi.
Nessa.
Mulheres feministas.
Yam femini. Femactiv.
Nari Mukti.
Matapang na babae. Kechi mai ka ishk.
Nobody needs ivory. Everybody needs elephants.
Thank you for listening to Women's Magazine on KPFA 94.1. I'm Global Val. We're here today to talk about the state of the elephant in the world, which has come to a critical point, much attributed to the ivory trade. On Earth Day San Francisco, I was lucky enough to MC in the speaker's tent and to be able to introduce and meet all of these amazing people who are working on behalf of our planet, the collective good. And one of the speakers who I met was Rosemary Alles. Rosemary is the co-founder of March for Elephants. She and Tamara Birdsall then sat down with me at Mutiny Radio in San Francisco to tell the story of the state of the elephant. So I want to welcome Rosemary. Thank you for being here on Women's Magazine.
The question is, why care? Why bother caring about elephants? Elephants are known as the Earth's constant gardener. The elephant is the keeper of the great green cathedrals of the Earth. It's an incredible, phenomenal disperser of seeds in the rainforest. It crafts and architects wells and rivers and streams. It guides the journey of water. And as incomprehensible as it may seem, this profoundly sentient creature is on its way to extinction. Dr. Samuel Wasser from the Center of Conservation Biology from the University of Washington had this to say about elephants. They are environmental architects. They keep woods down in the savanna and are the most important dispersers of seeds of rainforest trees. The Central African rainforest is the second most important area on Earth for capturing carbon dioxide and storing it. End quote. So you see, it's also the case that elephants help us mitigate climate change. It goes beyond this. The myriad fauna and flora depend on elephants. If elephants disappear, entire ecological systems might disappear. And even beyond that, the elephant is an archive of ancient wisdom. An example is a matriarch. A matriarch knows the contours of Earth like she knows her children, like she knows her calves, like she knows her families. She knows when the rivers are raging too strong to cross. She knows when it's too dry. She knows where to find water and food in a drought. She has memories of ancient pathways. And she teaches these to her children, to her family. So losing a matriarch to poaching, to killing, to the ivory trade, is not simply the loss of a single animal. It's a loss of a heritage, of a culture. A matriarch will readily place herself between a rain of bullets and her calves, dying for what she loves. So these are some of the reasons we need to care, and it should give us great pause.
As you were speaking to the elephants spreading seeds throughout the forest and playing a critical role in ecology, so is that what we distinguish as a keystone species?
Correct. It's a keystone species. Roughly, it's a species upon whom a myriad other species and ecological systems depend for their existence. So if the elephant disappears and these forests and their ecology changes, then it is poorly understood. But it's very likely that a myriad other fauna and flora may also disappear, may be affected, may vanish. You'd have a different Africa. An Africa without the elephant.
Give us a little background about your involvement in advocacy for the elephants and also about the organization March for Elephants. How did that come about?
I grew up in a family that was aware and concerned about social justice issues, and I see this issue as very much a social justice issue. My father was deeply involved in civil rights issues in Sri Lanka, where I was born. I grew up around both captive and wild elephants. And over the years, I've been involved in some form of advocacy or another, mostly relating to conservation and environmental issues. I was working very hard on the keystone issue when I started hearing rumbles about this, about the poaching that's happening both with elephants and rhinos in South Africa, on social media, on the news. And at first, I couldn't quite grasp it because I thought we'd been past this. After all, they're being poached for trinkets. But then I had to make a decision to leave or reduce my activism in view of the XL pipeline and move on to elephants because my heart led me there. So I scrambled around looking for people in San Francisco and elsewhere who were engaged in the issue, and I came upon many, but none here in the city who were willing to take the issue to the streets, to the ground. So to make a long story short, this was sometime in the middle of last year, I believe, when all this came about. And there was a gentleman by the name of Martin Perlmutter, who is a brilliant advocate, both on this issue and others. He organized a meeting drawing people who were concerned about the ivory poaching. Many of us went. I met several wonderful advocates. One of them comes to mind, Louise Olmsted, who's a remarkable woman who is 70 years old and whom I think of as our matriarch. And we came together passionately to advocate in San Francisco on behalf of elephants. At the same time, the David Sheldrake Wildlife Trust inspired the world by this idea to march on World Animal Day on October 4th last year. We decided to march, and we did, and we had the largest march outside of Africa. More than 700 people on a weekday joined us, and we advocated outside ivory stores. Perhaps Tamara can speak a little bit to that. And that's how we came about. So almost organically, we started calling ourselves March for Elephants, a metaphoric voice, a marching voice for elephants.
What are some of the statistics we know about the elephants?
All of advocacy is about story. It's about mapping a story and telling a story and hopefully telling the story well. So the map, the cartography for elephants begins with the species. Traditionally, it's been recognized that there are two major species, the African and the Asian, Loxodonta africana being the African and Elephas maximus being the Asian. In more recent times, what we've come to know is that we do have the African forest elephant also designated as a distinct species. And the reason I mention this will become apparent later in the discussion. So we primarily, our group and others, primarily focus on the African elephant. But the Asian elephant also is in danger of extinction, but for different reasons. The Asian elephant is losing its habitat. Human population explosion is driving them to smaller and fragmented areas of habitat. That leads to what is known in the industry, as it were, as human-elephant conflict, where humans and elephants are battling for resources, and the loser invariably becomes the elephant who is shot or poisoned. But our focus being the African elephant, the African species is being decimated by the brutality of poaching. So poaching is the number one problem facing the African elephant. According to the Wildlife Conservation Society, the WCS, historically, the numbers of elephants throughout the African continent may have exceeded 25 million. Just a few decades ago, in the 1980s, it is estimated that more than 1 million elephants roam the continent. That's a dramatic drop from historical numbers, but still more than 1 million. In 2012, those numbers were down to less than 400,000. Less than 400,000 individuals. Now, of these, the most affected, the most vulnerable are the forest elephants. 62% of forest elephants have been lost in the last decade. So if you do a little bit of the math, you see that they don't have another decade to go. The issue with the forest elephants is significant because, as mentioned earlier, They disperse seeds, they generate forests, they are instrumental in the sequestration of carbon, architecting rivers and streams. So it's critical that we try to mitigate this issue. So much of the decline can be attributed to poaching. Poaching is defined as the illegal killing of elephants for their ivory. And it's important to note that it's the illegal killing of elephants for their ivory. And that is the driver of the decline of elephant populations throughout Africa.
So what is the state of poaching?
The current wave of poaching is primarily fueled by China. Although the United States is not an innocent party in this, we are at least nominally the second largest market for illegal ivory. But it's second by a long distance. It's as though you come in second in a race by being miles behind. China is the culprit here. 70% of illegal ivory, of poached ivory, is consumed by China. And China has legal ivory carving factories. So the death of thousands upon thousands of elephants, roughly 35,000 a year, 100 a day, and one every 15 minutes can be attributed to the 37 or so ivory carving factories and the more than 125 ivory retailers operating legally in China. So it's sort of an interesting issue. There's this institutions and organizations like the carving factories and the retailers, traders which operate legally, but the substance and the material that they used come from this sentient creature obtained illegally. In China, there's an entity called the SFA, the State Forestry Administration, which is often at odds with its own government. The government, incidentally and in recent months, has shown more of an interest to try to mitigate the trade and try to shut down the carving factories. But the SFA stands in opposition to it. It's run by this man who's called Zhao Sucheng. And March for Elephants would love to have an audience with Mr. Zhao Sucheng so we can plead our case and ask him, Mr. Sucheng, why do you need ivory? Why is China carving ivory when the elephant is on its way to extinction? Nobody needs ivory. Everybody needs elephants.
And from what I understand, if somebody wants to retrieve ivory and get the tusk of an elephant, they have to kill the elephant to do so.
That's correct, because the tusk, a large part of an elephant's tusk, is embedded in what's called the pulp cavity, and that is deep in the skull of the elephant. So poachers are highly unlikely to want to tranquilize an animal and surgically remove a tusk. It's much easier for the poachers to kill the animal, and often it is documented that it is the case that these animals are still alive when they hack off the tusk. And if I may, can I speak a little bit more about the consequences of poaching? So poaching is destabilizing the African continent, and it's literally sponsoring terrorism. And I don't mean that in a metaphoric way. I don't know if you'd recall last year's massacre at the Westgate Mall in Kenya. That massacre was carried out by a group called Al-Shabaab, and it's well known that Al-Shabaab is funded by ivory and the poaching of African wildlife. Recently, Boko Haram in Nigeria, the militant group which deplored for its kidnapping of young Nigerian girls, also funded by wildlife trafficking and poaching, as well as Joseph Kony, the Lord's Resistant Army, funded their terror activities by trafficking ivory. And the reason is ivory, a pound of ivory, can be sold for between $1,200 and $1,300 USD in the black market. It's close to the price of gold. And this is highly attractive to communities in Africa, often who are poor, disenfranchised. But that doesn't remove from the equation the gravity and the tragedy that is befalling these incredible creatures. Beyond it, about 1,000 rangers, more now, have been killed in the last decade through poaching. And wildlife trafficking-related deaths have climbed up to something like 13,000. All this leads to the fact that the elephant is scheduled to be extinct, the African elephant, in the next 10 years or less. And for forest elephants, it's even less than that. So that's the state of the world for elephants. That is their current story. And all this is for trinkets, you know, just carvings that people seem to want to have.
Thank you for giving us that full spectrum. I think it really shows how vital a role the elephant plays, not only in our ecology and the future of ecology, but also how this illegal ivory trade is playing such a huge role in the destruction of so many other aspects of society. As you said, the poaching is funding the terrorist groups who are conducting killings and kidnappings. And why are the people poaching and selling the ivory? It's because they need the money. So we have this problem of poverty. And we see how the elephant plays this kind of a hub role in so many different factors. And I'm so pleased that you have come in today so that we can really paint this picture and really show the interconnectedness and different angles from which we can really address some of these various problems. Just to remind everybody, you're listening to Women's Magazine on KPFA 94.1. I'm Global Val, and I'm here with Rosemary Alice and Tamara Birdsall talking about the March for Elephants and Rhinos happening in October, October 4th. Tamara, would you like to share your story?
When I heard about what was happening to the elephants, you just have to get involved. Don't you find that everybody loves elephants? And when we talk about, well, why is it? Well, of course, it's because they're so smart. It's also because they're a matriarchal society. And let's face it, you know, matriarchal societies, I don't think we can say enough about them, right?
Yes, no, we cannot.
But they've also walked the savannas of Africa for millions of years. And the thought of them not being there in the next 9 years is just so horrible. And I believe it is why their stories are so rich and so important. So that's why I agreed to co-lead the march in October. Rosemary talked about storytelling, so I'd like to share a story. The day that 600 of us marched from Portsmouth Square through Chinatown, and we stopped in a store that had a window full of ivory. I mean, great, big, long, 4-foot tusks. And Neytiri told the story of Kumquat. Kumquat lived in the Amboseli ecosystem in Tanzania. And she was a mother, a grandmother, a matriarch. She was born in 1968. So this beautiful 44-year-old, wise, loving elephant who guided and protected her sisters and her babies was gunned down on October 28th, 2012. And it wasn't just her that was gunned down and slaughtered for her ivory. It was her family. It was her sisters and her babies in front of her. And we have an amazing photo by Nick Brandt, who is an amazing wildlife photographer with Big Life, of Kumquat and her family. And interestingly enough, it was taken just hours before she was killed. And I wish that you could all see this photo because she's just magnificent. And she's looking straight at the camera and her long tusks almost reach the ground. And these are tusks that she has dug for minerals and found her food and used for decades and decades. And her family is all standing behind her. And one of her sisters is standing with one of their babies under her trunk and under her tusk. And you just can feel the love and the importance and the integrity of these animals. And they're all gone, just so someone can have some completely meaningless trinket on their shelf. If you go to the website marchforelephantsandrhinos.org, marchforelephantsandrhinos.org, it has everything about the march and the movement. There's great information about the tragedy taking place. There are assets to download. There are petitions to sign. And there are all sorts of ways to get a hold of us. So marchforelephantsandrhinos.org. And it's the first time that we've mentioned rhinos here. And, you know, as much as Rosemary and I are here to save elephants from extinction, our sisters and brothers in the fight have asked to join us, and we are so, so happy to have them. October 4th is
World Animal Day,
so it makes it even more important and right that they're joining us. But rhinos might have less time than elephants. The western black rhino is already gone, extinct. And every 9 hours, another rhino is slaughtered for their horn. And Vietnam is the culprit here. You'll find lots of really, really good information on the site about rhinos as well. Marchforelephantsandrhinos.org. But what's much, much more exciting about gathering hopefully 1,000 people in San Francisco is that, much of it due to Rosemary's work, we have 85 cities around the world devoted to this movement and this event. 85. We have 20 cities in Africa, 7 cities in Asia, 10 cities in the U.S., but we also have South America and Europe and Canada. And, you know, how often do you ever get 85 cities to come to consensus on anything, let alone take action on the very same day? So this is so thrilling, and we owe it to the elephants. And on Saturday, October 4th, we will gather. There's a purpose to this. We want to visit these ivory stores. We could get in a cab right now and go to Chinatown, and we know through other means that there are probably 50 stores in San Francisco that are selling ivory. And we also, though, have to talk to lawmakers, local, state, federal. They all have a role in this. So we are orchestrating our march to both thank the lawmakers who support our cause and to remind the ones who don't that there's no time left and we aren't backing down. So they better get on board. So that's a lot of what the march is. I will add that we have succeeded in getting a really, really good petition written and vetted, and we now have it online, which, as you know, means everything now. You know, we're doing it the old-fashioned way and tabling at the zoo and tabling at Earth Day, and we'll sign anybody up. But the fact that we have it online is huge now. So that's the other big mission of the march and our work in the next 6 months.
Saturday, October 4th. The march will begin at 10:30 a.m. at St. Mary's Square in Chinatown.
And we will end our march and rally with music and speakers at United Nations Plaza, which is the plaza right next to the big Civic Center Plaza.
The elephant somehow, to me and to many others, represent a wild melody. It's the song of Earth. And we cannot let that music end. That music has to go on. Travel with us to this place in Africa to hear this story. And it's a story about a place called the Zangabai. And the Zangabai is a vast forest clearing in the Central African Republic. It's a sandy salt lick, and it's traversed in the middle by a generous stream. And it's a popular rendezvous for elephants. They come there to say hello to each other and to drink from the water wells and consume these minerals. Cornell University used to have a project there called the Elephant Listening Project. And there they recorded using specialized devices to the infrasound that came from elephants. Katie Payne, who's a renowned and wonderful scientist, found out that elephants communicate to each other at a frequency that is outside the range of human hearing, at 20 hertz and below. And some of that has been recorded, the birds and the creatures of the forest, the crickets and the elephants trumpeting. So I'll ask people to close their eyes and travel with us to the Zangabai and listen to the wonder of these creatures in their habitat when they're at peace. So that's the sound of elephants when they're at peace with each other, when they're communicating with each other, when they have a moment of ease on the earth. What you're going to hear next is difficult, and we won't play too much of it because it is the sound, not of these same elephants, but of elephants being gunned down and of their mourning, of their song when they leave the earth. So I apologize in advance about the graphic nature of it, but I think we need to hear their pain as well. Cultural practices whose shelf life has come have to be walked away from. Practices that inflict harm and suffering upon sentient creatures must go away. It matters not how valuable these cultural practices and in what esteem they were held in the past. We need to walk away from these practices if they cause harm. Ivory carving may be a profoundly important activity in China and other parts of the world, but it causes tremendous harm to a profoundly sentient creature. And we don't need ivory. Nobody needs ivory, but we all need elephants. The earth needs elephants.
Yo, folks, that'd be the March for Elephants, and now it'd be... In the here and now, it's a common thread collective doing more together than any of us can do on our own. And would you happen to know that this Saturday is 100,000 Poets for Change, And we got, hey, Rain is listening. Rain is listening, and she's going to be doing 100,000 poets for change in Missoula. We'll be talking to her soon. But meanwhile, we have right here the visionary, the man who had the first vision, a poet and beyond. I'm talking about Michael Rothenberg, who had the first vision of 100,000 poets for change and has brought this happening. Hey, Michael, are you there?
I'm here. How are you doing?
Oh, good. It's so good to hear you, because we know that Saturday is what?
Saturday is 100,000 Poets for Change Day worldwide.
That's it. In the city, on the planet, and out in the street. So tell us a bit about what's going on. Oh, my sister, Rain, Alexandria Rain Smith, is listening in Missoula. She's been calling in at 3:45. She calls in every week some poetry, and she's the person who's doing 100,000 Poets for Change in Missoula, and here you are. So tell us, first of all, what's happening in San Francisco?
Well, San Francisco has a lot of events, the whole Bay Area. There's about 20 events in the Bay Area. There's a big event at the Adobe Bookstore, and there's an event at the Beat Museum, and the Watershed Festival is in conjunction with the 100,000 Poets for Change.
That's right.
There's the events in, there was an event yesterday at Sacred Grounds, the Poetry Bay Area Poetry Marathon. I mean, there's just a lot of events. Events in Alameda and Hayward in the South Bay. There's events in Napa. A great event taking place in Napa tomorrow. Tonight there's a poetry reading in Santa Rosa, and then tomorrow there's a big parade in March in Santa Rosa, and then there's also an event in Healdsburg. There's a lot going on.
Doing more together than any of us can do on our own. Well, how can people find it? Most of the people who are listening to us are listening to us on the internet, so we're just a few finger touches away to find out your website where people can find that list that's called the Lot Going On list. 100,000
right.
Poets for Change.
If they go to the internet and they go to 100TPC.org. And for search for 100,000 Poets for Change, it'll come up. The website, you can see there's a sign-up page. There's a map showing where the events are. There's a blog. You can go to the blog, and there's a list of all the events. You go into the search menu in the blog, and you can type in the city, and it'll take you to an event probably near you. There's 700 events taking place in over 100 countries. They started probably a couple weeks ago, and they're running tomorrow, Climax, most of the events, and then they're running all the way into October. I mean, you can't really stop this thing.
Well, dude, you opened up the door, Michael. How many years ago was that? Three? I remember when we had a conversation.
Four years ago.
How time flies, and it's blowing in the wind.
Yeah, 2011, I remember.
And it's blowing in
the
wind.
Yeah, that's right. 2011 is what it was,
And some folks from Sacred Grounds just came in. They were probably there last night, and they're here now. And we'll be putting it out there, the Beat Museum, as it's been every year for I guess, since the beginning. It'll be happening. And Rain is going to be calling in. She's listening now. Hey, Rain, here's Michael in Missoula.
Hi,
And she's going to call in at 3:45 with some words and what's happening there, and we're putting it out here, and we're putting it around the internet. So hey, Michael, once again we're doing more together than any of us can do on our own.
Thank you for your support all these years, and for all that you're doing with Mutiny Radio. I really appreciate it, and I'm glad you contacted me.
I hope everybody
will go out there and participate, go read, start your own event. You can do it any time. You don't have to only do it on the global day. There's events taking place now all around the world, all of the time. There's whole organizations that have formed around the world where people do things, raise money for feeding the homeless and bringing awareness to global issues. And we're struggling, we're fighting here against the police brutality, the murder of Andy Lopez. This is a great way for the community to work together. So join us, I hope.
Doing more together than any of us can do on our own. In fact, tonight at the Mission Cultural Center, the Latino Film Festival.
There's a big event in the Universalist Church, too. There's a big one going on over there, too. Don't forget that.
Oh, the Unitarians. Say. I grew up in the Unitarians. They definitely are poetry conscious. And tonight, she's coming in to talk more about the Latino Film Festival. Is putting on a special film, The Life of Roque Dalton. Roque Dalton. And that's going to be right here in the Mission. I'm going to be there. A poet from El Salvador who was murdered, who was executed, but whose words live today. So that's part of the connection, and he was definitely a poet for change. Roque Dalton. We'll be talking about that later. Well, hey, Michael Rothenberg, do you have any words? You got any poetic words or any words of your own? A theme that's emerging that we could put out here on Mutiny Radio? This be Mutiny Radio. We'd be the Common Thread Collective.
Look, right now, we're seeing a tremendous. My feelings are about the amount of brutality and the proliferation of bullies in the world. We see it in war. We see it in Wall Street. We see it in freedom of speech issues. We see it in the police. We see it in the military-industrial complex. We see it in the prison-industrial complex. We need to protect ourselves from the bullies. We need to change the laws, and we got to get people to start enforcing the laws. Life is precious.
Life is precious. I think that's our theme for today emerging. And hey, Michael Rothenberg, you're always welcome to call in. We'd be happening. In fact, people are coming through the door right now as we speak, getting ready to play some music and talk about life. And the theme is, folks, life is precious. And hey, Brother Rothenberg, you're always welcome to call in here
Thank you.
And every Friday. You're part and parcel and a larger member of the Common Thread Collective, because we cast that wide net. We find that common thread. We let life flourish and say, don't panic, keep it organic. Isn't that what 100,000 Poets for Change is all about?
Thank you very much.
Thank you, brother.
Take care of you all.
Well, we're still on the planet. Hey, thank you, Michael Rothenberg.
Thank you, Michael Rothenberg.
You hear that rain?
Bye-bye.